IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right, now let's talk news. Let's talk about a very important topic, and this is something that I'm trying to get my head around. And this is the story of refugees. So joining me is David Bedane. He is a journalist. He's a founder of the Israel Resource News Agency at the Center for Near East Policy Research. And morning, David. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours, as always. David, help me to understand why, firstly, just to set the scene, I have a five-year-old in my brain who needs to understand things very, very simply so that I can see all the moving parts. So firstly, why are there two refugee agencies? We've got UNRWA, which is the United Nations Refugee Agency for Arabs who identify as Palestinian. And then there is the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, which is for all the other refugees in the world. Why are there two agencies?
Those two agencies were started one day after the other in December 1948. One was initiated by the United Nations. The other was initiated by the League of Arab Nations so that they would not have to be, so that they have a special status so that they could go back to their home. Very simple.
Okay.
And if they maintain this for all these years, every Arab who is born in a refugee camp is told your future and even your present is going to be in where you left in 48, whether it's Netanya, Ashdod, Ashkelon, or wherever. And that's where we're talking about 59 refugee camps, which are temporary all these years, and deprived of the right to decent housing because they're in a situation of waiting for their homes. Now, it's not now, and what's happened in the last few years is that we have transformed their temporary status to right of return by force of arms. They have a right not only to go back to their homes, but to kill anyone who lives there.
Okay, let's set that aside. I'm sure that we will come back to it. Some other questions that the five-year-old in my brain needs to understand is when I see pictures of what are termed refugee camps in Gaza. Firstly, they don't look like refugee camps. Refugee camps are meant to be temporary. These are cities, they're towns. How is it that nobody's questioning the status of a refugee camp that doesn't look like a temporary structure? This is permanent.
Well, first things first, an update for you. Most of those so-called refugee camps, which again were cities, as you correctly pointed out, have been destroyed in the fighting. So they are dust. Most of the UNRWA camps in Gaza are dust, and certainly in Lebanon and Syria they've been decimated. So that's very important. Where they are existing, as towns, as more or less cities, especially in the Bethlehem region, there's five UNRWA refugee camps in the Bethlehem region, and there's about 14, if I'm not mistaken, in the areas of UNRWA in Jordan. So they're functioning as cities, and they're all told this is temporary, you're going back to where you came from, and you can kill the people who live there. And that's not something out of fantasy. We have been, our agency, the Center for Near East Policy Research, you can see our work at the IsraelBehindTheNews.com on our site. It's very simple. You see that the curriculum is based on the right to kill Jews, if you live in an UNRWA camp. And again, I've been doing this for 37 years. Initially, when I would interview children, they would say, oh, we live here, but we're not really here. Now we say we're really in Jaffa. Now the children will say, I'm going back to Jaffa and killing everybody who lives there. It's nothing too complicated. So, now, journalists tend to not want to tell the whole story. And this is just too unpleasant because they've got PR people working for them and they don't want to get this out that this is what they're being taught. Inviting anyone, many even synagogue, that's willing to have a showing of our movies, which are all shown on our website, IsraelBehindTheNews.com, getting even a synagogue to agree to have a showing is almost impossible because it's just too unpleasant and it's too real.
So when my five-year-old in my brain is looking and saying, hold on a second, Gaza belongs, got this withdrawal from Israel in 2005. it's under Hamas rule. They had 14 years ago, it's now 15 years ago, they had elections, and the people of Gaza, the Arabs identifying as Palestinians in Gaza, voted in Hamas, right?
Not only in Gaza, those elections were held in Gaza, Judea, and Samaria.
Okay.
And the vast majority of Arabs voting from UNRWA and from the Palestinian Authority chose Hamas. And in addition, there were additional elections in 2009, which we covered, with the UNRWA workers' unions, 90% voted Hamas.
So why? I mean, that's telling me that there's some kind of democratic system of government. If you have a system of government, how can you be a refugee in your own land? I mean, I even took Israel to task at the beginning of this war, because there was a communication that came out and they were referring to all the people that from the south that had been displaced as refugees. I said, you cannot use the term refugee in your own land. You can't be a refugee in your own country. So thank God that narrative stopped. But when I look at the Arabs of Gaza, they still consider themselves refugees, even though it's their land.
Correct. And instead of the major mistake in 67 was that Israel did not immediately involve itself in a restoration program, in a rehabilitation program to get people into new places to live. And that was the UNRWA focus and the focus of all the Western countries, that they have to be only repatriated to the homes they left in 48.
I did not know that UNRWA was actually established by the Arab nations at the same time that the United Nations Human High Commission for Refugees was established.
Let's be very clear about something. UNRWA was established with the advocacy of the League of Arab States, the League of Arab Nations, but it's a UN agency. Although they have their own separate account. And there's no real accountability to what happens to the, believe it or not, hold your seats, $1.6 billion unaccounted for, which comes into from 67 nations and 33 nonprofit organizations, which come to them. There's no accounting, and no one knows what happens to the money. When we, at one point, we asked the Turkish ambassador, who gives $10 million a year to them, can you give an accounting of what happens? The answer was no. so simple. And the fact that UNRWA has these terrorist organizations controlling the budget. I mean, that's you can't make these things up. But controlling the budget at the same time, there's no accounting for the money. So the preponderance of armed terrorist organizations, which we have filmed, which people don't want to always look at. It's at IsraelBehindTheNews.com. If you have an index finger, you can press the button and take a look at it. It's very simple, very clear. That's an armed entity, which is called a refugee camp or refugee camps. And one of the things that we're going to be looking into in the near future is what happens to some of that money, including the establishment of massive brothels where UNRWA is involved in trafficking of women. Young girls from the camps, and also the women that they import. I if you have listeners who are feminists and who care about this issue, you can help us hire the proper people to do the investigations, so that perhaps there can be some accountability. You know, so what about the accountability? What about any kind of understanding of what's going on? So the United Nations hired a diplomat, a Kenyan diplomat. I'm not free to disclose his name, but he was forced out of the UN and out of the UN building because he was accused of sexual harassment, and so his report on UNRWA accountability never came out. So this is going to be devolved on the donor nations and people with conscience around the world.
David, I actually feel smarter for having spoken to you. I've got to leave it there. And thank you so much for just laying it out very simply. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. That is David Bedane. He's a journalist and founder of Israel Resource News Agency at the Center for Near East Policy Research.